I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, where Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time, is coming up on 11 minutes after 3. And I don't have any guests booked for today's show. So it is just you and me and the anger and hatred we will spew together, because that's what the right does, you know. We foment and spew hatred, whereas the left, they exhale pure innocence, light, and justice. Just remember that. Anyway, a couple of things I want to say real quickly before we plunge into the icy water. Number one, the news conference yesterday with Terry Pegula, saw some of the video reaction on social media, and basically there is a school of thought out there that Sean McDermott, I can't believe he lost his job over one game. He lost his job over bad officiating. Look, I don't always defend Terry Pegula. For example, I think that the no roof on the new stadium decision is a bad one. I would not have made that decision. I do not agree with it, and I think objectively it's not real smart. Okay, you want your guys to have the best possible playing conditions to show they are the best possible team they can be. You don't want to have somebody like James Cook slipping on snow that came down that they couldn't get up and breaking a leg because the place didn't have a roof on it. But that's just me looking at a worst case scenario. But I don't agree with Terry Pegula on the roof situation. I 100% agree with Terry Pegula on his rationale for firing Sean McDermott. And I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again today because I happen to think it is very important. You will never in your life see in the National Football League a coach as awesome as a human being as Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott is beloved in Western New York for a reason, because he is a genuinely nice guy. He's a wonderful human being. Do you know, I have never, not even on a private email from you guys, nobody has ever said, Tom, we ran into Sean McDermott at a restaurant the other night. Boy, was he rude. Was he stuck on himself? No, that never, ever happened. The only thing I've ever heard, and I'm sure you are in the same position, only thing I've ever heard about Sean McDermott is he is a great human being. So I just want to preface everything I'm going to say by telling you I have a respect for Sean McDermott bordering on love for somebody I've never met and with whom I have never spoken. I've heard all about him from people he wouldn't know, but they sure knew him, and he was a true, classy gentleman. By the way, not just Sean McDermott, but his family, too. Really, really nice people. So, that being said, I think Terry Pegula was extremely clear about the fact that it was not a termination over one game. How could anybody watch the news conference and come away saying, I can't believe they fired him because of one game? It wasn't a one-game situation. Frankly, if it was going to be a one-game situation, as much as I might borderline love Sean McDermott as a human being, if I owned the Buffalo Bills, and look, I have witnesses who can back me up. The day after the Kansas City 13-second loss, when I was at work, I told everybody, frankly, I would fire Sean McDermott, because at the NFL level, you cannot afford a mistake with clock management and kickoff. And that was such a preventable catastrophe. And to me, it lands solely on the shoulders of Sean McDermott. If that had been my football team, he would not have been there the next season. Why? Because it was such a basic mistake. Here's a good rule of thumb. When it comes to football, just remember something. I am a moron. Most men, most women, and probably most three-year-olds know more about football than do I. So that's my disclaimer. But if even I knew that they were screwing up with the clock in overtime, Kansas City, or actually it was before overtime, Kansas City, if even I knew that, that's not a good sign that Sean McDermott didn't know that, because that's what he does. That is his specialty. It would be kind of analogous to me forgetting to turn the mic on before I do a show. It's really basic stuff. It has to be basic if I knew it. So that's a pretty good barometer. And by the way, not for nothing, I'm not one of these radio guys who's going to come on the air and tell you I know everything about everything. I'm going to tell you that I have a lot of deficits as far as what I know. There are some things I know and I know very well, but there's a lot more that I don't know. And football is one of those things where I am actively trying to catch up with the typical three-year-old in Western New York. But even during that game, I knew. I was saying out loud, I can't believe they're doing this. So bottom line is, when Terry Pegula said it wasn't, I'll paraphrase, it wasn't a one-game decision, I absolutely believe him. And he's got the evidence to back it up. I would have not been as patient as Terry Pegula. As much as I love, kind of, Sean McDermott as a human being, that would have been his final game as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City 13-second game, which, by the way, if you listened to Terry Pegula yesterday, that was the first of his examples of Bills failures in the playoffs under Sean McDermott that he had mentioned. Okay, so for everybody who's on social media saying, oh, this, he got fired because of bad officiating, he got fired because of one game. No, he didn't. I think Terry Pegula was very, very, very clear with the idea that Sean McDermott was fired because, and I think many of us felt this way, I sure felt this way, many of us felt as though the Buffalo Bills had hit a wall in the playoffs. I'll summarize it. They're a terrific football team, but they just have never been good enough. Not good enough. Sean McDermott elevated this franchise. Sean McDermott has so much. We should be thankful for what Sean McDermott did, not to mention his coaching and belief in a very young and untested and unproven in the NFL, Josh Allen. A lot of Josh Allen's development was because of Sean McDermott. A lot of this team's success was because of Sean McDermott. I think he will go down as one of the greatest coaches in Buffalo Bills history. However, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how much you have improved a franchise in the NFL is about winning the Super Bowl. And Sean McDermott, he petered out in the playoffs. Whatever makes a coach a playoff coach, whatever that it factor is that propels people to ultimate success and the pinnacle of victory, as much as I love Sean McDermott, I don't think he has it. And that's not saying he sucks, he's a bum, just saying I think he reached the limits of his talents. And that was about as good as it was going to get under Sean McDermott for the Buffalo Bills. I would go into the discipline situation with some of the penalties that seem to haunt this team, not just this year, not just Saturday, but throughout his tenure, just some really undisciplined penalties that I think maybe somebody else might have prevented maybe 50% of those penalties with a little, shall we say, pep talk. But all of these videos online, these reels I see on Facebook and elsewhere, criticizing Terry Pegula, what a reactionary, can't believe he did this, Sean McDermott got screwed, one game, and the officiating sucked. I agree. You don't fire somebody after one game unless it is a particularly egregious situation of bad coaching. That's why I would have fired him after Kansas City. Absolutely, positively. And nobody was ever publicly held accountable by anybody who mattered for that disaster in Kansas City, which should have been a Buffalo Bills win. That was an amazing game. And the coaches,
my opinion, Sean McDermott, took that game away from the players and pulled the rug out from the feet of Bills Mafia and even casual fans like myself. That was a very deflating game. I can still remember how I felt. I can still remember the drive home afterward from a friend's house. It was pretty much as deflating as wide right. Except I think Kansas City was even worse because the variables that went into that loss at Kansas City, 13-second game, those variables were absolutely controllable. But they weren't controlled by Sean McDermott. And as a result, the Buffalo Bills lost. That's why the next day at work, I told people I would fire Sean McDermott. By the way, nobody at work agreed with me. And one person said, oh my God, Tom, really, you should not go on the air and say that because you're going to get nailed. I didn't say it on the air, but everybody who was around me that day, the Monday after that game, knows exactly how I felt. The firing of Sean McDermott wasn't about the Kansas City game, and it wasn't about the Denver game. It was about a pattern of repeated failures, some of them epic Greek tragedies, others just plain they got beat by a better team. So the Bills, my opinion, and people have died over sports opinions, please don't put a contract out on me, my opinion, as great a person and as great a coach Sean McDermott happens to be, the Bills made the right decision because the pattern existed repeatedly, year after year, of having a team highly seeded and then underperforming in the playoffs. So Josh Allen's performance on Saturday, James Cook's fumble, the officiating, that's not really the issue with the termination. The issue was a repeated pattern of not being able to get the job done. So I support Terry Pegula in his decision. I am uncommitted on the Brandon Bean situation. Okay. I've read a lot of very good things about Brandon Bean. The consensus seems to be among Bills Mafia that number one, the Bills fired the wrong guy when they let Sean McDermott go. And number two, there's a Peter principle at place in place with the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to tell you, I don't think I'm qualified right now to offer an opinion on Brandon Bean. I know what the statistics are. I know what his draft choices have done, or shall I say, not done. That also is a pattern. I understand the people who haven't gone to the Pro Bowl in Brandon Bean's time, but as far as taking it any further than that, I'm going to defer public comment on that because I don't know. I know the data exists, but I am not conversant enough to be able to tell you my analyses of the various data. Is that fair enough? I think that's a pretty reasonable, justifiable approach to this situation. I haven't really heard from anybody about meeting Brandon Bean or whether or not he's a great guy. Sean McDermott, universally, 100% people who have contacted me, people I know in the real world, they love Sean McDermott. And frankly, in turn, Bills Mafia and the Bills fans, even those of us who have no problem with Sean McDermott having been fired, we still borderline love the man and recognize what he did, but we also cannot turn a blind eye to what he was unable to do. Whether or not it was Brandon Bean not giving him the tools to pass along to Josh Allen to do the job, I don't know. But anyway, I think Terry Pegula is, and nobody told me to say this, by the way. This is my personal individual analysis. I think Terry Pegula is getting a bum rap from some corners. Now, the counter argument to that would be, well, Bowerly, you've already admitted you don't really fully understand football. I absolutely concede that point. But I will tell you that, you know, I can analyze data and use my own experiences in watching these playoff games over the years and come to my own conclusion. There's nothing to hate me over, and I certainly won't hate you if you disagree. We're not going to really take that as a topic today, but I guess I was a little bit frustrated last night watching some of the Facebook reels and the other videos from the people who really do understand football and sports in general, because I had a different take. And there are other people, by the way, who understand the game who share my take. So I can use that as a defense. Is that weaselly enough for you? Okay, good. 25 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I guess I will simply say, if the Bills don't win the big one in the next 3-4 seasons, that window, I'm afraid, is going to be all the way closed until the next cycle of excellence comes and the Bills get another Josh Allen-like quarterback. Good luck with that. Hey, you know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick, man, he could be 80 years old, and he would definitely go on the field. We love Ryan Fitzpatrick, too, right? Everybody loves Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a Buffalo guy. I mean, even though he's a Harvard guy, he's still a Buffalo guy, interestingly enough. But how about them Sabres? One quick thing I do want to say. I mentioned this yesterday. Part of me really hopes the Bills do not promote from within for a couple of reasons. Number one, it just seems cheap. It seems like, hey, let's cut corners on cost. It seems kind of cheap to me. And also, hypothetically, if Joe Brady became the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, I think he might be perhaps a little bit timid about confronting anything he's told by Brandon Bean, because he would always know that Brandon Bean is the guy who gave him his big break. All right. Now, on the plus side, he knows the system. He knows the players. And frankly, Joe Brady has made some brilliant play calls as offensive coordinator. However, there have been some play calls that even I, as an ignorant schnook, if I was the defense, I could have told you what they were going to do. And again, the rule is, if I can tell what they're going to do as a football moron, certainly the defensive people absolutely know exactly what he's going to do. So I should not be able to tell you what a play is going to be. All right. I'm too stupid for that, and yet I seem to have done it on an amazingly accurate and frequent basis. That being said, the calls he's made some brilliant, brilliant, brilliant calls. Everybody who knows football seems to say Joe Brady is the real deal, and he's real good, okay? I don't know that I want to see him as head coach. Now, bringing in somebody from the outside, pluses and minuses. The pluses, I think an outside guy, especially one with experience, who is perhaps maybe has a Super Bowl ring somewhere in the closet, and there's a limited supply, granted. Some of the guys who did already get hired are probably rueing the decision they made to take those jobs when they could have worked with Josh Allen, but I digress. Somebody from the outside with a track record of success in the playoffs, I think I would be very interested in that, but keep something in mind. There's no guarantee that success elsewhere is going to translate into success in Buffalo. And exhibit A is Scotty Bowman. Scotty Bowman, NHL legend, coaching juggernaut. Sabres brought him in 1980, I think it was, general manager and coach. Yeah, there was no Stanley Cup for the Buffalo Sabres. In fact, there was a lot of dissension and bitterness among the Buffalo Sabres with the Scotty Bowman era. So that's not a guarantee. It's 50-50, and there are no reliable data points that somebody with success elsewhere in professional sports is guaranteed with a 80% certainty to succeed in the new place. So we just keep our eyes open. It is 28 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I don't usually talk sports, but there's so much talk about that online. I felt like, you know, I'm into this, so I really would like to talk about it.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what a great choice. Tanner Saunders behind the glass. That would be Paul Davis. And if you ever want to read a fascinating story from the world of music, Paul Davis, that story is absolutely
amazing. And I didn't realize this. Paul Davis actually had done a duet with Marie Osmond, and Marie Osmond basically teared up when she talked about working with Paul Davis, just an enormously talented and great guy. It is 3:39. And I might add, Tanner had no idea I was just reading about Paul Davis yesterday. He's in my mind. Maybe he hacked my phone. That possibility. It is 4:39. That is WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. By the way, interesting notes here from the financial markets. The price of silver continues to rise dramatically. It's over $96 an ounce. The price of gold, $4,929 per ounce. The crypto stuff, Bitcoin, about $89,600 per. XRP, $1.92 per. And in other developments, the price of marijuana is $1,400 per pound. Roughly. Depends. It is 3:40 at News Radio 930. WBEN, great to be with you. And I want to get into what I really had wanted to get into over the past few days, and now we've got some time to do it. And we haven't any guests. We just have you on the telephone. And I'll tell you a little secret about me. I enjoy doing, I guess what some people might say, it's survey radio, because to me, that's kind of what talk radio is all about. It's should be more about you than it is about me. I have all day to express my opinions on various things, but you have the opportunity to help yourself to some airtime and vocally reach people with your opinions and your thoughts. And social media online definitely is great, and it definitely has its place. But one of the problems is the nuances of inflection. You can't pick that up from a text, and even emojis sometimes can be a little bit confusing. But I want to find out from you, and let's just focus on Minnesota, because true confession time, I admitted this last week, I have become very focused on the state of Minnesota, and in particular, Minneapolis-St. Paul, because I'm not going to call myself a historian, because that's not what I do for a living. I have been fascinated by history as far back as I can remember, and the stuff that is happening in Minnesota right now, to me, there's a high probability that it will have a dramatic impact on American history. How dramatic, I don't know. But the possibilities are very dramatic. What percentage would I sign? Maybe 20%, very dramatic. I want to find out from you, because we did the show Make It Make Sense, because so much of this stuff doesn't make sense. For example, the church invasion, the terrorist church invasion in Minnesota over the weekend. It's about the First Amendment. Don't you want to celebrate the First Amendment, our Constitution, our freedom? And I think there's a tremendous opportunity here for people on the right to join with people on the left, because the people on the left have made it real clear, freedom of expression and freedom of speech and freedom to protest wherever, whenever is something in which they believe, okay? So I think what we should do is ask the left to join the right in a similar protest inside an abortion clinic. They want freedom of speech whenever, wherever. They believe it's important to reach people, especially people who are comfortable where they are. Could we please get the left to join the right in a protest just like the church protest inside an abortion clinic? I call it a clinic. That's not really a good word, in my opinion, for a place that does abortion. Clinic sounds like some place you go to get a shot for, you know, COVID. That's not really what it's all about. There's got to be a different word. Some people have said abortuary. That's a little difficult. I can barely remember that one. Clinic to me sounds a little bit nice given what happens during an abortion. But anyway, they have the precedent now from the left is freedom of speech is important. You have to get people involved in a situation where they're most uncomfortable, and most complacent. You must make them aware to the ills of the world, even if they believe they happen to be in a, well, a sanctuary, if you will. So I think that the right and the left could actually get together with a unified demonstration of the importance of free speech and protest in the United States by going inside an abortion place and doing exactly what happened at the church in Minnesota.
That is so inappropriate. I cannot believe you would put people inside a medical facility.
Well, if you want to put somebody inside a church while people are worshiping. And there's another thing, too, to show that the protests are actually ecumenical, to show that it wasn't a situation where, okay, Christians, all they know how to do is turn the other cheek. This is a safe thing for us to do because what would Jesus do? Jesus would turn the other cheek. There will be no repercussions of our scaring the hell out of little children and the parishioners in that church. To make it ecumenical, do you think the right and the left could unite and do a protest exactly like the Christian church protest in a mosque?
That is also so appropriate, Mr. Bowerly. You are a hate monger. You are spewing division in our country.
No, not at all. I'm simply taking the logic and the precepts laid out by the dude on Sunday and saying, well, if it wasn't just against Christians, prove it. If you want to show that people can protest in any way, anywhere, anytime, why would you limit it to Christians? Because they don't fight back? How about a mosque? It's the same point, different faith, same point. Or maybe could it be that they calculated that Christians would be peaceful and love their enemy? I'm just saying. And by the way, the reality is, I don't believe anybody should be protesting inside a church, a mosque, a synagogue, a temple. No. And by the way, the FACE Act, it's supposed to prevent stuff like this. And there's also, Don Lemon is going to find this out, the Ku Klux Klan situation. Think about the irony in 2026 of a black man potentially being charged under a law that was put into effect because of the terrorism of the Ku Klux Klan against our black brothers and sisters. There's some delicious irony in that one. Hmm? And the nerve of Don Lemon. Did you hear what James Wood said about Don Lemon? He said a very unflattering thing about Don Lemon, but it made me laugh my butt off, which is an appropriate reference here, because he described Don Lemon as, in hygiene, there is a certain name that people assign to a part of the body that has not been properly cleansed following a certain function. And that is exactly what James Woods called Don Lemon. Megyn Kelly, who definitely has a scatological sense of humor, I know that, she tried to hide her face in either blushing or laughter when James Woods said that. But the big picture in Minnesota, and contrary to what you might think, I've been wanting to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this on Monday. Remember the guy who called in from Silver Creek? He wanted to talk about the church invasion, and we're talking about McDermott and the snow and everything, and I made that decision that I couldn't have the show hijacked on that day. And I hope you understand that, all right? I wasn't mean. I wasn't nasty. Even though we're probably on the same team, I had to continue with what I was doing, and I would do the same thing all over again. The situation in Minnesota, I've been following that. I have been fascinated by it because I have some conclusions about that, which I'm not really reading a lot of, if any of it, in the fake news or in any of the legacy media. I'm concerned about what's happening in Minneapolis-St. Paul because I do think that it has larger repercussions, and you cannot view what's happening in Minneapolis-St. Paul in a vacuum. You have to look at the context. We have cities on either side of the country which have elected socialists as mayor. We did a show on this several weeks ago. Socialism is not going away in America. No. On the contrary, socialism is on the upswing in America. I dare say that the socialist wing has the so-called mainstream Democrats on the retreat. Of course, that's presuming that the mainstream Democrats aren't themselves socialists. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have a lot of respect for people like Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Mamdani for being honest and open about what they are. They are proud socialists. They don't try to hide it. They don't use camouflage, adaptive camouflage, to subterfuge the American people. I totally turned a word into a different kind of word there. Hope you didn't catch that. I got a break. Hey, my phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I do want to set this up a little bit better, a little bit more detailed, if you will, but I definitely want to get to some phone calls right after the news at 4 o'clock with the question I shall tell you on News Radio 930 WBEN. Because, like I said, my opinion is one thing. This really, though, is a call-in show, and it's about your opinion and your analysis in the spoken word form. Maybe you'll win a Grammy. Who knows? Anyway, talking about the situation in Minnesota, I want to know from you, because I've been thinking about this, and honestly, I need your help on a couple of things. I need your help on a couple of issues. Issue number one is only a slight non sequitur. As many of you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, I suck. I mean, let's face it. I'm just mediocre minus. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I am not a member of any political party. I am not registered as anything. So I've been toying with the idea, because of what I've seen in Minneapolis, St. Paul, of registering as a voter with a political party. The choices I have are Democrat. Should I register as a Democrat? The other choice is, should I register as a Republican? The other choice is registering as a conservative. Now, philosophically, I don't see all that much difference between Republicans and conservatives any more than I would with Democrats and liberals. I think it's almost interchangeable in 2026, but I need your recommendation. Oh, there's a reason why I would consider registering as a Democrat. You understand this. I would never do anything for a reason, mind you, or without a reason. Should I register as a Democrat, a Republican, or a conservative, or should I just stay an independent voter? I don't belong to any political party whatsoever. The only partying I do is behind closed doors with a stupid little hat on. The other question I have is, in light of what's happening in Minneapolis, St. Paul, oh, I've got a lot to say about that. Would you describe what's happening there as an insurrection? Would you describe it as protests covered under the First Amendment? Would you describe it as a civil war? Would you describe it as a revolution? And I'll take that one step further. Do you think in the final analysis, all of the anger, all of the hostility, all of the screaming, shrieking, whistleblowing, septum piercings, blue hair, do you think that's all really about ICE? Is it really about ICE? Oh, I've got some thoughts on that. Sometimes forest meet trees. Don't go anywhere. I want your calls coming up. I think you know where I'm going with this, so you probably have put some thought to this as well. I wouldn't call now because you're just going to be on hold for like 5 minutes, but you may call at about 5 minutes after five. You may call at about 5 minutes after four. Big hand, little hand. I can tell time. 803-0930, 803-0930 in the 716, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Your thoughtful analysis, please. It's Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
for real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney. Time is 10 minutes after 4 o'clock. So a couple of things here. I guess we'll get more detailed as we move along. Frankly, I could speak for the next 2 hours about the Minneapolis-St. Paul situation and general issues like that. I'd prefer not to, because I think that might be a little bit boring for you. And believe me, I wouldn't get off on it. But a couple of things. Number one, I have not belonged to a political party for quite some time. And I've kind of been proud of that. I am independent. Nobody owns me. I don't know what I should do. Should I stay independent? Why? Should I stay non-registered, unaffiliated? Should I become a Republican? Should I become a conservative? Should I become a Democrat? Why would I want to become a Democrat? I'll let you think about that for a few moments. The other thing is, what's happening in Minneapolis-St. Paul? How would you describe it? Insurrection? Revolution? Civil war, peaceful protest, and why? Because the nomenclature is, it's important, I think. Definitions are important. And the side question, do you really think, can you tell by the sarcasm in my voice, do you really think that this is about ICE? Do you really think that ICE is what this is all about? Or do you think it might go a little deeper? And by the way, hint, they kind of tipped their hands during the church terrorism over the weekend, for which people have been charged today. No word on Don Lemon, however, because if he's charged, I want you to know, he will only be charged because he is a black man and because he is homosexual. That's why. It would be racism by the Trump administration. Absolutely, positively. Racism, it would be a clear infringement on Don Lemon's constitutional rights. Absolutely, positively. And frankly, I think Don Lemon ought to sue, if he's charged, ought to sue DOJ for the horrible blow to his reputation any criminal charges would have. I mean, his reputation would be so harmed if he's charged with it. Don't you agree? He's a journalist, you know. Let me explain. He has a website, and he does the news and commentary from his website. By definition, you too can be a journalist. Journalism doesn't mean what it used to mean. And by the way, I think that's kind of a good thing, because citizen journalists, like that kid in Minnesota, smoke the fake news and most of the mainstream media. They really do. Shirley has done more investigative work as a 23-year-old than every Buffalo TV station has done in the last 20 years. Remember John Pauley, how good he was back in the day? And we used to have some real investigative journalists. But this is what happens when the market size goes down and you say to somebody, oh, you want a job doing TV news? It's 2026. Your starting salary is $22,000 a year. Good luck with that. Good luck getting good people. Let's go to Fred on WBEN. Fred is in, of all places, Toronto. Good thing he called now with Tanner and not Jimmy Love. You're on WBEN. Fred, hello.
Hi, Tom. I'm calling because of your remark about what you would do in Minneapolis. And I am very...
What did I say I would do in Minneapolis?
Well, regarding having people go into an abortion clinic and...
Oh, that was... You understand that was...
...the left and the right.
You understand... Time out. You understand that that was a hypothetical example to make a point? I would personally, never go into somebody's place of worship, temple, mosque, synagogue, for any purpose like that, nor would I go into a medical facility for any purpose like that, because believe it or not, I do have some sense of decorum. However, my point was the left has now raised the bar, or would that be lowered the bar?
That's not really what I wanted to say. My whole point is that freedom of the amendment, freedom of assembly, which is the basis for all these demonstrations that we have. This should be rescinded. Came out at a time when the back in the 18th century, when they didn't even have a mail service. There was Pony Express, so you couldn't get out an idea. You couldn't communicate with people. There was no way. But today, all it is, when you have allow freedom of assembly, is basically allowing freedom of intimidation. We have social media. You have phones. You have television, radio.
The only amendment that needs to be changed.
Fred,
the only amendment that needs to be changed is the one that allows women the right to vote. I think, you know what? Maybe our caller from Cheektowaga.
That wouldn't solve the problem.
Well, let me tell you something. If the females that we're seeing in Minnesota are representative of the females in America, I really kind of question that. Allowing women to vote. And I'm saying that I saw a woman on Facebook Reels the other night who's a conservative, and she basically said the same thing our caller from Cheektowaga always says. She says, look, these women in Minnesota, if that's the rule as far as how women behave and how they think, as a conservative woman, I'm willing to give up my right to vote to keep them from voting.
But it's broader than that. If you go into all of the demonstrations that we have, and you had the ones that the conservatives did, that there were two, the January 6th and Charlottesville, but they had 500 on the left, and they weren't all women. There were a lot of men doing this too, and I would argue with you that people today are being paid to demonstrate. You get a George Soros.
I keep hearing that, but I want to see the proof.
Going in, you can get 10,000 on the drop of a hat to come out and demonstrate.
It's easy. I work on facts. It would not surprise me that they are being paid, some of them, to either protest or to organize the protest. And I would like to know exactly who is cutting those checks. If it is George Soros or anybody of that ilk, I think they should be thrown in prison for the rest of their lives. Okay.
Well, isn't there an online website that you can get crowds?
No, this would be
crowd or something where you can get a demonstration to come out.
These are smart people. They're not gonna leave a paper trail. It's got to be investigated by forensic accountants. From where is the money ultimately? And I thought over the weekend, a couple of possibilities. Number one, wouldn't surprise me if this is money that is somehow being filtered from one of those NGOs or has been filtered from an NGO, maybe one of those that was closed down under the auspices of USAID. The other thing I thought was, wouldn't it be interesting if these demonstrations were being funded and financed by the money Obama sent on pallets to Iran? And they're using it to destabilize the United States. Now, having said that, that is idle, absolutely no evidence, speculation, and curiosity. What if? Now, I don't want to turn this show into, oh, they're being paid. I can prove they're being paid. Tell you what, if they're being paid, then the Trump administration, Pam Bondi, who I'm not even sure if Pam Bondi is able to charge her cell phone, because I keep hearing about investigations, but very few charges. I want to know who is paying them, from where the money is coming, and you got to show me the proof, because that's become a mantra on the right. They're being paid. They're paid demonstrators. Okay, well, you've got Donald Trump in the White House. Why don't we have the actual facts in front of us? Why isn't that the subject? Why don't we see that on Truth Social? Why don't we see that on Facebook or X? I want to see the documents.
For one thing, is it illegal to pay somebody to demonstrate? I don't think it's illegal. If you wanted to pay somebody to go out and demonstrate, I don't think there's a law against that.
Well, there's a criminal aspect.
And they
and
have so much on their plate now.
Can you not hear me?
The billions of dollars in corruption in Minneapolis and in California and Lord knows where else, Chicago. I mean, they got so much on their plate that, you know, to go after every little thing they can't do. But to me, this should be something. We don't need freedom of assembly anymore, unless you want to assemble in one specific area to demonstrate, that would be okay.
That's been done.
But I don't think you should be able to go after people, go into in their face and see the freedom of speech.
You don't, Fred. I got to move on. Fred, I got to move on because you can't hear me. We cannot have a conversation. I'm not trying to be rude here, but I'm trying to like have a dialogue with you, and I can't have a dialogue if you cannot hear me. So I'm sorry if maybe that was on my end, maybe it was on your end, but I was trying to like say some things, and I don't think you could hear me. And again, not trying to be rude, not trying to be a Richard, okay? No hard feelings. I'm not like a high blood pressure guy or anything. You don't understand the First Amendment of our Constitution, and we're kind of big. Now, you might not know this in Canada with your hate speech laws and everything else. Ask a trucker about the COVID thing. But we have an absolute right in the United States to peaceably assemble. Peaceably assemble. I don't want that right taken away. There's no reason to take it away. We have a right to peaceably assemble. A lot of the behavior you've seen in Minneapolis, St. Paul in particular, is well out of the borderline of peaceful assembly. Okay? It goes into other areas which in fact are criminal. And yes, in some places they do have protest zones. Remember the political conventions? Oh, here's the protest zone behind these areas right here. Because they didn't want a repeat of Chicago in 1968. Which actually, people in Chicago in 1968 and Abby Hoffman and those people, they made the 2026 protesters seem, the 1968 people seem like Rhodes Scholars compared to what's going on in Minneapolis. I mean, the situation in Minneapolis, St. Paul is in mind. And, you know, when you call in, I feel bad about Fred because Fred is a perfectly fine fellow. I'm not angry at him at all. I hope he's not angry at me. But when he was talking about the First Amendment as a Canadian, he did not understand the First Amendment. It's not about people assembling. It's about people peacefully assembling. The peacefully is the key word. And I was trying to get in to tell him that, but either he couldn't hear me. Well, he couldn't hear me, no matter who's end that was on. So I'm sorry it was that way, but I want you to know I wasn't trying to be obnoxious. I wasn't trying to be a Richard, but his whole premise was based on something that was a false understanding. I was trying to correct that, and he couldn't hear me. Yeah, get off my lawn. I'm miserable. I'm cranky. It's does baby need a nap? It is. I do need a nap, actually. 26 minutes after 4, News Radio 930 WBEN. Couple of things. What is going on? Remember last week I did Make It Make Sense? Like another example would be Trump is a pedophile. He's a pedophile. Hey, let's stop ICE in Minneapolis from arresting a pedophile. What? I'm just saying. The situation in Minneapolis, what's going on? Is it peaceful protest? Is it an insurrection? Is it a revolution? Is it a civil war or the beginning of a civil war? Is it about ICE? Really? Or is that just an excuse? Are there deeper issues involved? Hint, listen to the audio of the Minnesota church terror invasion. And you better believe, if the same behavior was done by the right in an abortion place or in a mosque, it would be wall-to-wall coverage even now. Hand-wringing, despair, criticism, and of course, Donald Trump would be blamed. Speaking of which, caller mentioned January 6th. Remember on January 6th and after that, every Republican had to publicly denounce what happened on January 6th? How many Democrats have been asked to publicly denounce what's going on in Minneapolis? Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. See, when something happens that doesn't look good on the surface, Republicans have to disavow it immediately. Oh my goodness, that isn't who we are. We absolutely are not in favor of this. Let me get on my knees. Let me genuflect. Let me apologize. Democrats usually don't even get asked the question. And if they do, they just double down on it. Definition, Tim Walz, Mayor Fry, 428, News Radio 930, WBEN. It is Bowerly on a Thursday, and your call's coming up. Why don't you start calling at about 435? That would be a good idea. 435, that way I minimize your hold time, and you get right on the air. And I got to know, too, if you can actually hear me when I speak to you when you are on the air, because if not, that's a problem that we need to adjust. And again, Fred in Toronto, no hard feelings, man. I'm sorry, but we're trying to have a conversation, and you couldn't hear me, which made it rather difficult.
Tune, baby. Rome, R-O-A-M. Yeah.
It is 4:39 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly, and it is your time to call to offer your analysis, because this is a radio telephone talk show. A couple of questions that I have for you. First of all, you know, I've been thinking lately, because the Minnesota stuff kind of... You know, I don't usually do political topics. I try to stay away from them unless absolutely necessary, or unless I'm very passionate about the given topic. And the Minnesota stuff, I have been, I've spent hours every day catching up on what's going on in Minnesota, various analyses of what's going on in Minnesota. And I do think that there is history in the making in Minnesota, and it's not necessarily positive history in the making in Minnesota. But what I have seen, again, please understand, I really don't like getting into politics all that much. A lot of people do. That's not my go-to topic. My go-to topic is fluff. I love doing fluff. Fluff is great, and I can fluff with the best of them. Let me rephrase that, shall I? So politics, I've told you a lot over the years, I don't belong to a political party. I'm not registered Republican, I'm not registered Democrat, conservative, anything, because I always wanted to have that sense of nobody owns me, and you know, I'm really not saying something because I'm a registered whatever. So I'm kind of rethinking that, and I really want your guidance and your help on this, because I don't know. You guys are smarter than I am, especially collectively. May I have your advice, please, on what I ought to do? Should I stay... somebody who is not registered with any party? I still vote, but I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat, liberal, conservative, whatever. I'm just a voter. I'm John Q. Citizen. I would like to, I think my wife is registered as a conservative. It may be Republican, but we got some mail today, conservative stuff. So she may be a registered conservative. I got to ask her. But I have people in my family who are registered as Republicans, and one who's a registered conservative. True story. I haven't been registered as nothing. So should I stay that way? Should I stay a registered nothing? I was thinking perhaps that I should register as a Democrat. Should I register as a Democrat? Why would anybody who thinks the way I do register as a Democrat? Well, I was kind of thinking that in the event of a primary situation, I could vote as a Democrat for the worst possible candidate to go up against the Republican. Given a choice between somebody who actually might sound pretty good and somebody who's a complete bozo, I know that the bozo would probably win. So I would vote for the person that I thought gave the Republicans or the conservatives the best chance at winning that race. Oh, it's a little bit schemey. And before you get too down on me, seems to me that somebody that everybody loved, Rush Limbaugh, seems to me that back during the Hillary Clinton-Obama primaries, didn't he do something called Operation Chaos with pretty much the same intent? So that would be my intent if I registered as a Democrat. Can I parlay that into using my one vote, unless I actually do vote like a Democrat and I end up voting 10 times in an election, like mail-in and stuff? sorry. I don't know if I should register as a Democrat as a kind of like an espionage mission. I'm good at that stuff. Yeah, I'm good at that intelligence stuff. Of course, I just told everything on the air, so maybe not. So what do you think of that? Should I go as a Democrat? Now, the other possibility is, well, there are two other possibilities, three actually. I stay not registered with any political party. One nice thing is it does cut down on the mail solicitation and on the people knocking on the door to sign a petition. It does cut down on that considerably. One of my family members who is the registered conservative, every time they need a petition signed, they're going over to try to get a signature, baby. Should I register as a Republican? Now, here's the thing. Ideologically, I don't see much of a difference between Republicans and conservatives, frankly. I'm going to say this very delicately. I don't like the Republicans. I don't have a lot of affection for the Republicans. Yes, Bob Davis, Carl Calabrese, they are friends of mine. First time Bob Davis and I had any kind of intercourse was when he was running against Len Lenihan for Erie County Legislator. I was working with Len Lenihan's campaign as a volunteer. And it's a long, long story, but Bob Davis figured out that this guy who wrote a letter to the local paper extolling the virtues of Len Lenihan was actually working on his campaign. So Bob Davis called Lenihan's campaign headquarters, asked to speak with that Thomas Bowerly fellow. I answered the phone. It was Bob Davis. And he wrote a letter to the same newspaper saying, thought you should know he's working with Lenihan's campaign. I've got actually somewhere here. I've got the letter. But that was my first introduction to Bob Davis. My father was furious with Bob Davis. Dad, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm a big boy, kind of. And obviously, since then, things have changed. Bob Davis is a friend. And Len Lenihan, by the way, is also a friend. And I will tell you why. Len Lenihan was the chairman of the Erie County Democratic Party for almost 10 years. The Erie County Democrat Party then does not resemble the Democrat Party of today at all. In fact, I dare say that the stuff, the policies, the principles for which Len Lenihan stood up as a Democrat Party chairman, I dare say that with today's Democrat Party, particularly the younger people, he would almost be considered a fascist. That's how things have changed. And I say that knowing that Len Lenihan's introduction to politics way back when was when John F. Kennedy came to Buffalo. Len Lenihan saw him at a campaign event, I believe at the Odd, and Len Lenihan knew at that moment that he was going to get involved in politics and he was going to do so as a Democrat. So he was very much in sync with JFK. And by the way, I'm in sync with a lot of what JFK was all about. John F. Kennedy, was he the greatest president ever? No, Trump is. But John F. Kennedy was very, 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 very good. And frankly, the decisions that he made during the 1962 missile crisis, had he not done exactly what he did, how he did it, none of us would be here today, I don't think, to talk about it. John Kennedy's and his administration, along, of course, with a willing Khrushchev, they were able to navigate through the narrows of nuclear holocaust. So we all owe JFK a debt of gratitude. But anyway, yes, Len Lenihan, friend. Len Lenihan, yes, former chairman, Erie County Democrat Party, friend of mine, longtime friend of mine. And I haven't talked to him about politics, but I've known Len for a long time, and I have a hard time believing that what we're seeing in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Washington, D.C. are things with which he has inner sympathy. Unlike he had a lot of love and respect for JFK. But today, JFK, he could not be a Democrat. You know that, right? He would have to be a Republican by default. He would not be accepted. Well, Tom, prove that. Okay, Fetterman from Pennsylvania. Excuse me, but this guy... this guy is taking so much heat from the Democrat Party because his views are more moderate and continue to moderate. Example, the drug smuggling boats blown out of the water. Fetterman came right out and said, look, I've seen the intelligence. I'll paraphrase. They were drug boats. They deserve to be blown up. Well, that doesn't sit real well with the orthodoxy of the far left that now runs the Democrat Party. He's seen as a heretic. He's seen as apostate. So at some point, I think Fetterman's probably going to become either an independent or a Republican. All right. So Now, instead of mocking him for wearing sweatshirts, those of us on the right are going to have to say, well, what a remarkable free spirit. We applaud his independence in fashion. Because, like anybody, we can be hypocritical too. I used to mock his sweatshirts. Now it's like, hey, kind of cool, man. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Kind of like that. So, Democrat, Republican, or conservative? Now, the conservatives, I've done the Democrats, I've done the Republicans as far as explaining my rationale. The conservatives, as a rule, I don't see much difference between the Republicans and the conservatives ideologically. I really don't. When you register conservative, I think that you're making a statement. Because what I don't like about the Republicans, I think that they are beta men. I think the Republicans are weak, mealy-mouthed, spaghetti-spined, and pusillanimous. They don't have stones, would be the central theme there. That's why I don't like the Republicans. When the Republicans get power, they don't want to use it. Oh, no, they really don't want to use it because they're all about, well, let's meet in the middle and let's have compromise, even though we can't possibly compromise because how do you compromise when some people think that men can get pregnant? You can't compromise. So the Republicans, to me, I don't like them too much because I view them as a very weak group of people. I also think the term Republican in name only is absolutely valid because a lot of those kinds of Republicans, they may run as Republicans, but they're doing it for the same reason. Well, they're doing it because it's politically expedient for one reason or another. Okay, you follow that? So the that leaves the conservatives, and I'm trying to think of negatives of registering as a conservative. The only negative I can think of is I'm a bit of a libertine and a free spirit, and people rag on me sometimes because I do have some libertarian beliefs, such as legalizing drugs, which, by the way, William F. Buckley, a conservative, also supported. The problem with being a conservative sometimes is if I ever do something where I screw up, it's always going to be, well, this is what a conservative is really like. They caught me in a den of vice. Well, that's the libertarian part. You understand what I'm saying? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Mike in DePew. Mike, you are on. Thank you very much. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Well, Mike, it's that Mike. I was hoping you were going to call in yesterday about Greenland because I thought for sure that you've written 18 books on Greenland. You taught in Nuuk for a while, and you speak fluent Greenlandish.
Well, I gave you some insights on Greenland last week. So just a couple of things. I was listening to your party discussion, working on a project here. I thought maybe I could add to the conversation.
Ooh.
So let me first start by saying this. The political parties, as we know them today, were never supposed to be incorporated into our political system. In fact, our political system was designed to be antithetical to party alignment. So what parties typically do is they basically align with voting blocks, and it's become about political power.
Now, Mike, I'm glad that you called, and yes. I do value your intelligence because I quite quake in your presence intellectually. I got to put you on hold. We need to continue this after 5 o'clock because, like your wife was telling me just the other night, you do not finish in 30 seconds. So hold on. It is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. For those of you saying, he is so inappropriate, Mike and I break each other's cojones all the time. And frankly, I kind of like being on that kind of a basis with callers where it's like I'm that way in real life too. So, and this is real life for me. So, it's not, like, inappropriate. It's just how dudes sometimes talk to each other, especially dudes who are highly dysfunctional, like myself.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope you had a good day at work. And, well, we've had a pretty good show so far today. Let's see if we could bring this to a stunning climax, the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. And bottom line is, I don't know about you, but I've been really keeping an eye and doing a lot of thinking about what's going on in particular, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, or as somebody once joked, the twin cities of Minneapolis and Tehran. So I'm just kind of curious about several things that have been going on in my mind, because I need your advice on it. I've been not affiliated with any political party as a registered voter with any political party for most of my life. However, seeing what's going on there, I almost feel like, you know what? I've got to do something. I just can't be independent. I just can't be unaffiliated. So I'm trying to figure out what you have to say about, should I register as a Democrat? Should I register as a Democrat? My thinking being, I could do a little bit to sabotage primaries to make sure the worst possible candidate gets my support. The one I think is most likely to be beaten by somebody else. Should I register as a Republican? Thing is, I don't really like Republicans because I think they're weak. I think they're very weak. I don't think they have much spine. I don't think they have much testosterone. Or estrogen, if you prefer. I think they vacillate. I think they're always on the defensive. They allow themselves to be put on the defensive by the fake news. And Trump, I think, has shown people how to fight back against the fake news. And it's kind of contagious. It has spread to some other people, okay? Not afraid to call out media and its bias. Playing Mr. Nice Guy as a Republican does not work. It really does not work. But my contention is most Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Sean Miller is Sean Miller. But the Republicans in general, they get power. They're afraid to do what they said they were going to do if they had power. They forget who their support. They forget from where their support comes. I just think they're very, very weak in general, weak men. I think the women are stronger as Republicans. The Republicans, I think, are weak men. The conservatives, I don't know. I kind of like that idea. The only negative I can think of is if I ever do something stupid and get busted for it, it might be, those conservatives, you know, they say one thing in public and then they do another thing somewhere. But the fact of the matter is, is to me anyway, being a conservative, I wouldn't say that I'm a member of the libertarian crowd. I do have some views which are decidedly libertarian, but I also think a lot of the libertarian things, they don't make a lot of sense to me in the real world. Theoretically, they might sound great, but in the real world, they're just not very practical, and I tend to be a pragmatist. So I'll keep my libertarian views, such as they are, on certain issues, but conservative is probably the best descriptor. The one other thing about being a conservative, people associate, oh, conservative, you must go to church, you must have the Bible memorized. No, that's not, no. I'm a cultural Christian, meaning that I've got great respect for the religion. I don't practice the religion, but even though I don't practice it, I think there's tremendous beauty and tremendous advice in the Bible, and I love the New Testament, but I'm not going to wave it in front of me as my get-out-of-jail-free card like Don Lemon tried to do in Minnesota. But I don't know if I should. What should I do, guys? I'm confused. Do I stay as a non-registered with any party voter? Do I register as a Democrat to do some subversion? Do I go with the Republicans, even though I think they're spaghetti spined? Or should I be a conservative? I think my wife may actually be a registered conservative. I got to check. I guess she's got to do away with her septum ring now. Let's go to Mike in Depew. Now, Mike, I know what you're saying about the American experiment back in the beginning. Political parties were not supposed to be this way. And without getting bogged down in all kinds of recondite trivia from 1790, when did that all change?
Yeah, well, I'll try not to give you a lecture. I can avoid that.
Yeah, please, Donnie. It's just a quick answer. When did this all change?
Yeah, I mean, that's when it begins to change, is after Washington's first administration. He gets into a conundrum with his two secretaries, Hamilton and Jefferson. These guys can't work out their problems, and it largely stems from the French Revolution. and they go at it with one another. They even create newspapers. We have politically biased Mike,
I'm sorry. Mike, I love you. Mike, I love you. You got a great brain, but we're just getting off in the weeds that honestly most people don't care. I mean,
no,
I'm sorry.
I'll move forward.
I'm going to switch gears here, okay? Because you're going to lose a lot of my audience because I'm fascinated by it, but I got to think about the people driving home from work hearing about Adams and Washington and whatever. It's just not working for them. Mike hung up on me. Oops. I didn't hang up on Mike. No, I was not done with Mike. I was trying to bring him into the current era and get out of 1790. Oh, Tanner made a mistake. Mike, Tanner accidentally hung up on you. I was simply trying to make the point, with all respect, because you know how much I value your intellect. You're a great caller. You are so intelligent. The fact that I could listen to you speak for hours doesn't really matter because even though I could, most people listening, I dare say, it's just not something in which they're going to have a great degree of interest. So I was going to propel you into the modern era to talk about political parties because the whole question was, in which political party should I enroll? So I apologize that you were hung up upon, Mike Indepew. I did not hang up on you, and Tanner did not do so malevolently. He did so because he thought I was done with the call, when in fact, all I was doing was switching the direction of the call as respectfully as I possibly could, okay? Folks, I do the same thing, except I can't cut myself. Tanner can take me off the air. There are times I'll go down a road that I think is really interesting, and I think it's relevant. But then after the show, I think, wow, I spent 5 minutes talking about the kind of underwear Rasputin wore. And yeah, so forgive me on that one. Mike, I love you, just so you know. And I didn't do that. And Tanner didn't do it because he's a mean and nasty guy. Tanner did it because he doesn't like me. 19 minutes after 5, let's go to Ralph Lurigo. I've heard that name before on WBEN. Should I register as a Democrat to be subversive? A Republican, but I think Republican men in particular are weak, beta, spaghetti-spined males, or a conservative running the risk that I might pollute your party?
Good evening, Tom. I've listened to you for years, and I obviously absolutely believe you should register as a conservative. We are the party that keeps the Republicans in track. We are the party of, you know, that has ideals. We have a platform. We put our platform out every year so that you know where we stand. I know we get a bad rap sometimes. People think we're this very far right, which we are not.
There's nothing wrong with being far right. Time out. See, Ralph, you're doing what the Republicans do. You apologize for being far right. There's nothing wrong with being far right. So Ralph Lurigo is the chairman of the Erie County Conservative Party, and he's here because I asked the question. I've not been a registered voter with any party for quite some time, and I'm trying to figure out, because Minnesota has inspired me, should I become a Republican? And I think Republicans, with all due respect to my friends who are big shot Republicans, I think they're weak, spaghetti spined. A lot of them are rhinos. Some of them they might as well be Democrats. And I think they're weak, and I don't think they follow through with things. I think they're too worried about being liked. Should I become a Democrat to subvert the primary process, or should I become a conservative and run the risk for conservatives that I might embarrass them? Ralph, you were saying, well, a lot of people have the wrong idea about conservatives. They think we're far right, to which I say, if you're far right, own it, man. Be proud of it. There's nothing wrong with being far right.
I certainly wasn't apologizing for anything. What I was trying to say is that people think we don't have a safety net or we don't care about other people. That's totally wrong. But we are what we are, and we are the backbone of the Republican Party. We are exactly what you want to be. We are the party that keeps them in track, individual responsibility, less taxes, less government interference in our life. We are that party. And so listening to you for decades now, I believe you're right there. You have a great thought process. You're willing to debate. See, I consider myself a Jack Kemp conservative, willing to debate anybody because we have the better argument.
Oh, I agree. Well, first of all, in 2026, I think putting together a word with more than three syllables is a great argument. And understanding that men can't get pregnant, I think that's also a good basis for discussion. I mean, what I'm trying to say is the arguments of the left have become so childish and so filled with non sequiturs and illogic and hypocrisy. I got to tell you, I don't think it's even worth debating the left anymore. Look what Charlie Kirk did. He got murdered for it, and then after he got murdered, he was laughed at for it, and now the same people want sympathy for some idiot who lost an eye because of protesting around ICE in a violent way. It's out of control. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you're exactly right. It is out of control. When people are willing to call themselves socialistic Democrats, the country has changed substantially since, you know, we started voting. But the conservative party still holds the line on that. We are the ones who go out there and say that you can't trust anybody who wants to consider themselves a socialistic Democrat. Government shouldn't be in our everyday lives, taking over control of our children, teaching our children what they want to teach them in school, putting women in men's sports, all this argument back and forth. It is totally wrong. It is not what the American dream was all about. And I believe our party holds that line, and I believe you fit 100% there.
But, Ralph, there's another problem, too. If I register as a Republican, does that mean that if I go to one of your dinners or something, that I'm going to have to sit next to Nick Orticelli? Does it mean that? I'm sorry. Nick is a dear friend now, so it's all good. I know he's listening to the show.
He is a strong conservative. You know, he knows what values are. He puts himself right in the middle of it. He makes sure that people understand what the values are. That's the kind of conservative you are.
Yeah, Nick and I have actually become very, very close over the past couple of years, and he's a strong conservative. He's also a strong man. I saw him lift things that no human being has ever handled before. Ralph, hold on if you want to. If you're just joining us on WBEN, and I haven't really gotten into the Minnesota thing as specifically as I've wanted to, that's kind of like a stepping stone into this topic of I want to register, I think, now with a political party. I've been not affiliated with a political party for many, many years. But now I'm thinking, you know what? I need to at least my obituary should say something other than he was not affiliated because he never took a stand for anything because he was a loser. I don't want the obituary to say that. My grandparents, both of my grandfathers were very staunch Republicans. They did not like FDR, I might add. But I have to say that the Republicans, and I say, keep in mind, Carl Calabrese is a friend. Bob Davis is a friend. These are Republicans. And I honestly don't think they would disagree with what I'm saying or the basics of what I'm saying. I think the Republicans are a party of very weak, mealy-mouthed, spaghetti-spined men who are all talk during a campaign, but if they take office, they suddenly moderate. And they allow themselves to get put on the defensive all the time. Well, not Donald Trump. He didn't do that. He puts them on the defensive, which I'm rather fond of that. So, I don't know, do I sign up to be a conservative? Huh? I mean, see, my luck, the minute I sign up to be a conservative, somebody will put weed in my car. I'll get pulled over. Ah, well, that's what a conservative does. I'm just saying, it'll be in a state where it's not illegal, too. Just see, it'll probably be a Class A felony. All right, it is 28 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Should be an exciting half hour coming up, and if you'd like, you can be a part of it at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN. Welcome to the show. And one of the things that asking for your input is political affiliation, because basically as long as I've been on the air, I've told you I'm not registered to be a member of any political party because I kind of like my independence, and I'm kind of thinking maybe that should change. But do you think I should stay as not affiliated with any political party, at least on the voter rolls? I was thinking about maybe becoming a Democrat to try to subvert primaries, so I would vote for the worst possible candidate to go up against the Republican. As far as registering as a Republican, you know what? I don't have much use for the Republicans. And you know why? Because I think they're weak. I think they are people of words and not action. I think that when they get power, they don't know how to use it. They're people who expect to be put on the defensive and allow themselves to be put on the defensive. In short, I'm not an alpha male, really, not much. But I look at the Republicans and I think these guys are a bunch of beta males. Now, the conservatives, the only thing that concerns me about that is conservative and Bible thumping often go together frequently, and I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm just not. I do believe in God, and I said I'm a cultural Christian, but I don't practice any particular faith whatsoever. So I guess that would be okay to be a conservative, but then I think, gee, you know what? If I ever did something really stupid, that's going to be the first thing in the news story. Conservative arrested, because it always is. Because whenever you see a story about a politician getting into trouble, if it's a Republican, it's always in the first line. If it's a conservative, it's in the headline. If it's a Democrat, you got to read down a little bit. Let's get back to Ralph Lurigo. He's the chairman of the Erie County Conservative Party. He thinks I should register as a conservative. So tell me, what is the difference? He says the conservatives are the people who keep the Republicans in line. I'm kind of curious, Ralph, do you agree at all or in part with my assessment of the Republicans as basically being the Neville Chamberlain of the American political scene?
What I disagree with is here in Western New York, conservatives like Dave DiPietro, Rob Ort, they are very conservative. Dave DiPietro is the conscience of the assembly. There's no two ways about it. Rob Ort is willing and does articulate our stance very effectively. So we do have very good conservatives in this area. I get what you're saying nationwide.
As Republicans?
As Republicans. I get what you're saying nationwide. But look, I've known the Republicans in this area quite some time. Nick Langworthy did a great job as Erie County Chairman, as State Chairman. He fought and fought hard as he was one of the first to endorse Trump. Elise Stefanik is an excellent, or she was, and hopefully would stay, congresswoman who was extremely capable. So we do have some good, strong Republicans, but I absolutely believe, that the conservative party here in New York keeps them where they need to be. I believe that we are the backbone. We are the conscience that keeps them in line. I would love to have you on a debating team because our values are the right values. You're not afraid to articulate them, and you know history so well, and you're an intelligent guy, and we win every debate.
Oh, I think you've done quite well without me, quite frankly. Somehow you've managed to carry. You know, what you said earlier, and we're talking with Ralph Lurigo. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'd love to get you guys in on it because your calls make the show much better than I do individually. 803-0930 is the number, 803-0930, star 930 on a cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Hey, tell me, are you affiliated with a political party? Are you a registered conservative, Democrat, Republican, and why? What made you make that decision? Because I'm at a moment of truth here because Minnesota has made me realize I really should at least register with something, with a group of people with whom I find myself generally in agreement, because I don't like what I see coming down the pike. Ralph Lurigo, again, head of the Erie County Conservative Party. As far as the differences between Republicans and conservatives, as far as policy would be concerned, is there one single largest gulf between the Republicans and the conservatives?
Well, to me, the Republican Party certainly nationally has gone soft. We are a Second Amendment party. We are a pro-life party. They are afraid to articulate themselves in that vein. We are a constitutional party. You know, we're not a singular issue party, but we are a party of the Constitution. We believe in the Second Amendment, as you do. We certainly believe in being pro-life. There are issues that we are able to hold our Republican counterparts into the situation that, you know, betters, in my opinion, this country that we live in.
You know, talking about the, that's an interesting description. I mean, obviously, I need to think about this. What are the advantages of registering as a conservative? Do I get a nifty little membership card in the mail? Maybe a bumper sticker or something like that?
Unfortunately, no. What you get is the satisfaction that you are keeping us in line. You are keeping the Republicans in line. You are trying to make New York State what it should be, the Empire State. It certainly is not. Kathy Hochul, you know, has changed dramatically, 180 degrees from when she was the endorsed Democrat conservative in the town of Hamburg, or the endorsed county clerk. She has changed.
Wait, you mean she was county clerk? She's the county clerk who said she'd never give driver's licenses to illegals. Got it.
That's exactly right. She's the county clerk who had an A rating with the NRA when she ran for Congress and was able to convince enough Republicans in that district to grant her a 2-year stint in Congress.
Yeah, because Ralph, she ran and she said she was a moderate Democrat. I remember all of those things. And let's just say that she changed. And I'm telling you, the only explanation is reptilian shape-shifting alien in action.
She said she was a conservative Democrat, not moderate Democrat.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
A conservative Democrat. That is certainly not the case anymore. She panders. This is what's wrong, is Kathy Hochul and, unfortunately, the downstate Democrats pander to the have-nots by votes. They don't help them out. They don't raise them up. They don't give them a leg up. They give them a handout and try to keep them in place voting Democrat.
I've got to get to some other people, Ralph. I'm grateful for your phone call. I guess the one thing I want to know, because obviously registering as a member of a party kind of means that you're interested in taking part in the elections. And one of the things I'm a little bit, he did talk about this in Davos yesterday, but I'm a little bit disappointed because I really want President Trump to come out once and for all and show the evidence that proves what I've always said. I believe 2020 was an absolutely rigged election, and I think people need to go to prison for it. I wish that there would be less talk and more action about the rigged 2020 election so media can stop putting in the sentence, his unfounded claims about the 2020 election once and for all.
History will eventually tell the truth, Tom. Right now, we're in a battle. We're in a huge battle, right versus left, Democrats versus Republicans. Right now, we have to take our wins, and we have to, in this next election, we have to keep the Republican Congress. We have to keep the Republican Senate. We need everybody to get out and vote. We need everybody to understand how critically important it is.
And we need honest elections. What's the point of voting if everything's going to be rigged anyway? So, yeah, we need honest elections done fairly.
I could do a show with you just on absentee ballots when you look at how the Democrats have manipulated that situation.
Well, Ralph, I'm going to get to some other people, but I will say that when it comes to, and I was talking about Republicans being a very weak-spined individual, spaghetti-spined, I'm just glad because when, like, say, January 6th or something like that happens, every single Republican down to dog catcher has to publicly do the, I'm publicly disavowing January 6th and the people who did that. I'm so glad the media are doing the same thing to every Democrat with what's going on in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Every Democrat is being asked if they disavow the violence, and oh, I'm sorry, I was dreaming. Never mind.
Dave DiPietro doesn't back off on these things.
No, he most certainly doesn't. Ralph, thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there's Ralph Lurigo, the chairman of the Erie County Conservative Party. What do you guys think? Because you are registered as what and why? Because I haven't been affiliated with any political party. I didn't want to bring bad reputation to them. And I think that may change because Minnesota has made me realize, you know what? I should really, at least for what it's worth, make a symbolic stand for what I believe in. And basically what I believe in is the antithesis of everything I see with the violence and, frankly, the insanity of Minnesota. And it really is disturbing to me because the idea of dialogue, compromise, and debate, you know what? All due respect, that went out the window when Charlie Kirk was murdered, and it hit the ground when so many people on the left were celebrating, doing happy dances, pointing to their necks because a man was murdered. Not because he tried driving anything into a federal agent with a two-ton vehicle, but because he was speaking his mind. They made it real clear that they think everybody who believes as Charlie Kirk believed, they wouldn't be sad if we met the same fate. I think that's sick. I really do. And I think that the murder of Charlie Kirk, no pun intended, was a turning point in America. I honestly believe that is the day America crossed the Rubicon into a new era of serious political discord. There can't be compromise with people who think it's okay to murder somebody based on their political ideology when they're not trying to hurt anybody else. Homicide is not justified in those circumstances. And it's also, how do you debate or argue or find compromise or middle ground with a human being, even a doctor, who cannot make the unequivocal statement, men cannot get pregnant? It's like there's nowhere to go in any discussion with people who think that way. There's nowhere to go because they're not operating in a reality. They're operating in something that's really weird. And let's be brutally honest. I'm sorry. A lot of these people act like they are really mentally ill. And by mentally ill, I mean they actually are acting like and speaking like people who, what's it called? Article 78? Who are dangers to themselves and others. And I wish I didn't have to say that because I'm aware that the Soviets used mental hospitals to discredit political opponents. I mean, that is an age-old trick, by the way. If somebody's not on your side, you try to make it seem like they're crazy. Let's go to Dave on WBEN. Here's Dave in beautiful Oakfield, New York. Dave, you're on. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Dave.
So, I'm a registered Republican only because I haven't changed it to conservative. But I've always looked at it as the conservative has tried to only conserve our Constitution and rational thinking. And they've acted as an anchor in our political system. And everything's just moved left of that, you know, from Republicans and Democrats, liberals. Everything's just moved further left because, you know, instead of conserving our, preserving our freedoms, they've stepped on them. That was their one job they had to do.
Well, you know, there's something else. I said this earlier, Dave. I happen to be I don't have a religious mania for the Kennedy family. I'm just not into that celebrity kind of stuff. But in terms of the presidency, I believe John F. Kennedy was a damn good president on balance. And I also believe in 2026, John F. Kennedy and the ideas for which he stood would be not welcome in the Democrat Party.
Absolutely not. I think he probably closer to conservative than Republican just because he had a way of getting things done.
In today's climate, John F. Kennedy would be called a Nazi and a fascist.
Just like the rest of us.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Dave. And you know, the really interesting thing, they're talking about the changes in America. I mentioned this last week, but check this out on YouTube. you're not going to believe this. In the 1960s, at like 20 years after the end of World War II, at Brown University, you're never going to believe this. I didn't believe it until I heard it. I heard it on YouTube. You can check it out yourself. See if I'm telling the truth. There really was a genuine, real American Nazi. He was a Nazi. His name was George Lincoln Rockwell. He did a speech with questions at the end at Brown University for an hour. They let him speak. There were some interruptions along the way, but nothing like the kind of mayhem that breaks out if your grandmother wears a MAGA hat. So let me just get this straight. A real American Nazi, George Lincoln Rockwell, is allowed to speak at Brown University in the 1960s within a generation of the end of World War II. It's 2026, and anybody who doesn't toe the far left line of the Democrat Party, which actually may now be the mainstream of the Democrat Party, they're called a Nazi or a fascist. And you're not allowed to speak. In fact, you can't even wear a hat on the way to a Trump rally. Tolerance by the left in America is gone. It really is gone. And I cite that Rockwell speech as an example of what tolerance... Liberals used to say, I might disagree with what you have to say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it. And that was in evidence in the 1960s with Rockwell. Listen to what happened in the... It's amazing what happened. Compare that, what you're going to hear, to what happens today. I was blown away because it is a quantifiable example of the way things used to be with political discourse in America, that even the ugliest speech, you were allowed to do it. Even 20 years after Hitler's death, you were allowed to be a Nazi and go to Brown University. Now, you can't even vote for Trump without being called a Nazi. It's just bizarre. We've entered the surreal. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for a nearly perfect game today. I do want to apologize to Mike in Depew. That was an inadvertent hang-up. I did not personally do it. Tanner did it, but he did not do it out of malevolence. He thought I was done with the call. So, Mike, you may call back tomorrow if you're so inclined, unless you hate me, which I wouldn't blame you for, but I have offered an explanation. I'm really, really sorry that happened, Mike, but there was no bad thinking on our part, and Tanner's a great guy. He would never hang up on you either. It was a misfire. It's as simple as that. It's all part of a giant conspiracy against Mike. Tom Puckett coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.